This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
As the Federation's smallest state, Perlis has a big heart and an even bigger plan to boost its fortunes, earmarked to obtain millions of ringgits through the Northern Economic Corridor Region program in 2013. The state is poised for great economic transformation. On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Datuk Sri Azlan Man, the Menteri Besar of Perlis. He's here to tell us how he plans to execute the many plans slated for the Perlis to be developed by 2030. Good morning, Datuk.
Good morning, Ibrahim. Good morning to everyone, to all listeners of BFM.
Now, if you have any questions for the MB of Perlis, you can text us at 016-201-9000 or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. So, Datuk, let's focus on the statement that you made 2 weeks ago on the seminar on business opportunity organised by the state authorities and MIDA, or the Malaysian Investment Development Authority. You were mentioning that the primary objective right now for Perlis is on the exploration of the potential of Perlis as a strategic location on the northern part of Peninsular Malaysia. Do you think Perlis has an advantage over other areas in Malaysia?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that Perlis has its own advantages, actually. You know, by sheer the location of Perlis, the geographical location in the north, northernmost state of Malaysia, and we are bordering Thailand, I think there are a lot of opportunities there which we have not fully exploited and tapped into. So I believe that, you know, there are things that we can do that would benefit the state and that would turn the state into, you know, what, you know, our wawasan or our vision is to turn it into a city-state by the year 2030.
Okay, so let's focus on some of the things that was already mentioned in that program, as well as under the Perlis Strategic Development Plan. It seems here there's 16 mega plans or flagship projects that can be developed, that will be developed under PSDP. How has that 16 projects coming along?
Well, actually, you know, because this is a new vision, and we have included that in the City-State 2030 vision, and we are now planning, actually, in the process of providing, or rather, you know, to make sure that investors are attracted to come to Perlis. So what we are doing now, in order to make it as a reality, so what we do now is actually to make sure that all the infras, all the necessary infras to attract investors to come will be in place according to the time and the schedule that we have planned so far.
Yeah, okay. So because Perlis has a budget deficit right now, the state's 191 million ringgit budget for 2016 provides for about 150 million ringgit project. Does it mean that you have to rely heavily on the assistance of the federal government?
Yeah, well, that is quite obvious, actually. You know, given our deficit, we wouldn't be able to put all this in place if we were to depend on the state revenue. As mentioned, you know, state revenue is only 80 million a year as projected. Therefore, our dependence on federal government's contribution is quite great. And, well, I must thank the federal government for having agreed, you know, to our plan, and not only just agreed, but have approved quite a hefty sum of allocation to enable us to implement the plan to put all these infrastructures in the state.
So you mentioned twice already the kind of infrastructures that has been implemented in the state. What are the specific infrastructures that are needed for you to get that Vision 2030 up and running?
Yeah, well, you know, when I talk about infrastructures, you know, we have planned that is to turn, to create an area, an industrial area for the first time in the state of Perlis. We have 3,000 acres of land that we have bought back from FELDA about 3 years ago. And this 3,000-acre land will be turned into an industrial area. And then imagine, this is a huge area, and I think maybe one of the biggest in Malaysia. And of course, it's going to be a history to the state. And when you talk about 3,000 acres of land and the kind of infrastructures that are required, obviously, is very, very, you know, we plan for that.
Right. And So this is with regard to the Chuping Valley program. It's going to be created for under the Perlis Inland Port. Wouldn't this put in direct competition with other ports within the northern region, including Penang?
Well, it is not actually in direct competition. What the way I look at it, it is going to complement, you know, all the ports in Malaysia, the sea ports in Malaysia, and this is going to be the first inland port, you know, in the peninsula of Malaysia. It is going to be in the north, and as I said just now, we are going to exploit our geographical advantage, geographical location. And then we have border trade with Thailand. And the advantage that we have is that in Thailand, they wouldn't be able to have a seaport, a deep sea port, because of the nature of the coastline is such. Therefore, they have to rely on our ports in Malaysia, be it Penang, Klang, or PTP in Johor, and all the way to Singapore. So if we don't have a port that is close to the border, close enough to the border, then all these things will go straight, you know, to all the seaports in Malaysia. So if we want to take advantage of this, we need to have a port, and this case is inland port. And this inland port is just part and parcel of the whole industrial area, because it's going to occupy about 500 acres of land, you know, from the total 3,000 that I mentioned just now.
Mm-hmm. All right. And from the analysis that I have here, the project, the 500 acres within the Juping Valley development of that 3,000 acres that you mentioned, mm-hmm. It's going to cost you 1.5 billion ringgit project. And this 1.5 billion, is it going to be funded by the federal government?
Well, this is not going to be totally funded by the federal government. The federal government is going to take care only of the infrastructure, which in this case for the inland port, there are two main things here that would require. One is actually to build a rail line that will connect the inland port and the existing double track railway lines. So we have to do that. You know, if we don't have it, then it's going to cause us some problems, because all these goods that are coming in from Thailand, you know, will have to be transported from, you know, the border to the inland port, and from inland port to other parts of Malaysia, or including Singapore in this case. So if we rely solely on road, you know, by trucks, I think it's going to cause a lot of problem, a lot of money will have to be spent on that. That's why, you know, for the long run, we need to have a railway line, and that is a new one. And in addition to that, we need also to upgrade or even develop or build a new road that will connect the entry point in Padang Besar to the port, and to the inland port. So these are the two huge infra projects that we require to make sure that our port is successful.
I'm speaking to Dato' Sri Azlan Man, the Menteri Besar of Perlis. He is on the Breakfast Grill. So, Dato', still talking about the Juping Valley program, you were quoted saying that this program will be able to attract foreign investors. Do you think that the complementary aspect that you mentioned just now is enough to attract private investors, or is there something more that is appealing to these investors?
Well, on this one, I'm pretty confident that, you know, this will be an attraction to investors, actually. So far, we have received a lot of requests, a lot of interest expressed by investors. But the only thing is that they are not ready to come yet, simply because the area does not have the necessary infrastructures. So that's why we have planned for this. And, you know, we have put in place our plan, and inshallah, by the year 2017, all these physical implementation of the plan will take place.
So this implementation has to have an estimated cost of 200 million ringgit in terms of initial cost. Do you think that this cost can be covered or is enough for the infrastructure to be put in place?
No, actually that 200 million is just only a part of it. Okay. You know, according to our estimation, this is a very rough and very conservative estimation. At the moment, we require 1.04 billion ringgit just only on the infrastructure alone, meaning that this is just only government investments.
Yeah.
That not including the investment that is going to be made by investors. And I'm sure that, you know, if this thing is fully developed, I'm talking about the 3,000-acre land, is fully developed, the government spending alone will be, according to my estimation, at least 1.5 billion ringgit. And I could not estimate how much will the investment by the private sector be in this case. And I'm sure it will be in billions of ringgit.
Okay, so with this optimistic view, you were also quoted that there could be up to, say, 5,000 jobs made available from the Chuping Valley program. Many of these individuals right now, the workforce in Perlis, or at least close to a quarter of them, are invested in agriculture. Mm-hmm. Does it mean that Perlis will now sway away from agriculture and move towards other sectors, including manufacturing and services?
Yes, certainly. Well, the estimation of 5,000 job opportunities, is quite conservative in a way. Actually, that inland port alone would be able to create 5,000 jobs, as you know, the way we project it. But all in all, I think for the area, for the industrial area that we are going to create, it will easily create more than 12,000 job opportunities. And talking about, you know, where are we going to get all these people to work here in this industrial area? Well, in Perlis alone, we have quite a number of high learning institutions. And at the moment, we are producing about 5,000 every year. We have UNIMAP, you have UITM, we have Polytechnic, ILP, Institute Latihan Perindustrian, community colleges and so on and so forth. So easily we have, you know, ready people to work, in this, if these job opportunities are created by then. You're saying about the structure of the economy of Perlis, whether this will also pose some opportunities for the state of Perlis. Yes. You know, if you look at the structure of the economy of Perlis now, agriculture is not that big. Actually, it's shrinking. At the moment, only form about 22% of the economy of the state.
Yeah,
and the biggest part is actually on the services sector, which is now about 62%.
You see, the agriculture sector for the rest of Malaysia contributed to about 9.2% of the Malaysia's GDP. Of course, this number is about a few years ago.
Right.
It still means that Perlis is more green than the rest of Malaysia. Now, does it mean that this would take away the agriculture kind of edge that Perlis has with regard to the rest of Malaysia?
Well, you know, the agriculture will be there still because it is required. You know, food security, we depend on agriculture so much. But, you know, how agriculture is going to be run, how it's going to be managed. So it should be managed in a way that will be more efficient, more effective. You know, even with less area to be used, then we can produce more. So this is what Perlis intend to do.
I'm speaking to Datuk Sri Azlan Man, the Menteri Besar of Perlis. He is on The Breakfast Grill. Up next, we'll continue our discussion on Perlis' economic mix as well as the challenges that lie ahead. This is BFM 89.9. So with me on The Breakfast Grill this morning is Datuk Sri Azlan Man, the Menteri Besar of Perlis. Datuk, we got a few questions coming in. One is more serious, the other one is more of a light-hearted question. Okay. Let's start with a more fun question here. Why is it that the Perlis local-grown harum manis cost more than, say, the Australian or Indian mangoes that we can get on the market?
Well, this is a very interesting question, actually. A lot of people are questioning this and why it is so expensive. No, actually, it's basically this is supply and demand. You know, you have more supply than demand, then of course the price will not go up so much.
So harum manis is
very... But here the demand is so high and yet the supply is so limited. It is so limited because harum manis can be grown everywhere in Malaysia, but it doesn't bear fruit. You know, only in Perlis that you will have that kind of quality. You know, the aroma and all these things. You know, that's why as the demand more and more coming in, and we could not supply as much, so that's the reason for the increase in the price.
Yeah.
And still, this is very interesting actually. Because why? Because as the price goes up, you know, more people are demanding for it. So this is quite interesting. Well, actually, it is a blessing to all the farmers in Perlis.
So another question that has come in includes some of the challenges and risks that lie ahead in Perlis, including what Thailand is trying to build right now, the Kra Isthmus Canal. This would cut across the peninsula of Thailand.
Yeah.
Do you think that this would mean some of the work that Perlis is doing will be undone?
Yeah. Well, you know, let's go back to the history. Actually, the idea of having a canal across the Isthmus Kra is not a new idea. This has been there since 14th century, actually, but it has never come to reality. For some reasons, even if, you know, let's say that because now that they are picking up the issue again or the idea again of having a canal across the Isthmus Kra.
Why do you think that this has not been done? I mean,
well, you know, it could be for many, many reasons. You know, this is not just only the players in the region, but it involves players, you know, in the globe. Small players, big players, and so on and so forth. Though I don't have any specific answer to, you know, to that question, but I believe that, you know, if you refer to Singapore would vehemently disagree to this idea because it would kill a port in Singapore because it will cut Singapore off from the main waterways. Well, come back to the idea of having a canal across the Isthmus Kra. This is not going to be a threat to the state of police. Actually, we can ride on it. We can take advantage of it. Actually. So what we, you know, plan to do, we are going to have, we plan to have a port, actually, a seaport in Perlis as well, because this is according to the Institute of Maritime Studies carried out last year. And we got the findings. And they, well, you know, this is very interesting because they found that the best location for a seaport, you know, in the northern area, from Perlis right down south to north of Lumut, Perlis is the best, you know, location or the best, what they call that, site to have a seaport.
Yeah.
But of course, the seaport will not be the one, you know, the conventional one. It has to be something different that will have to protrude into the sea, you know, like 1 to 1.5 kilometers away. And then there they will spread, you know. So this is the type of or the model of port that we are planning and to take advantage of the canal that, if they build the canal across the Isthmus Kra.
So, Dato, you were mentioning on the potential of Perlis being, strategic in many of these areas. In fact, if I were to recall back the PSDP project that was slated, there are 16 projects here, including the Halal High Value Processing Park, the expansion of Investor Ready Industrial Parks. Many of these are, you know, projects, including the maritime initiatives that you spoke of earlier at Kuala Perlis. But it seems that while you have, or while the state of Perlis has a lot of these projects, many of them are slow to come to fruition.
Yeah.
So one of the questions would be on Twitter is asking, can you ask Yang Ahmad Berhormat, what is holding Perlis back in just running with these 16 projects or so?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned earlier, you know, the I wouldn't call it a problem, but, you know, what we are lacking is actually the infra. Because most investors who have expressed interest to come to invest in Perlis, they are asking for, when they say that, well, Perlis is well located, you know, suitably located because it is close to the border. We can take advantage of the border trade and so on and so forth. We can create an industry, halal, and so on and so forth.
Is it because there's no poor lobbying on the federal government to get this infra in?
The eyes was focused more on other states in the past. But, you know, now that the new administration, we see all these potentials. Because, as I said, we have to take advantage of the geographical location advantage that we have. And that's why I'm focusing more on the services industry. And that's why the industrial area that we are going to create, we'll have to put all these infrastructures first in place. Because these will be the main or the critical parts of creating an industrial area. So you just go anywhere in the world, not just only in Malaysia. We have to put in place all these infrastructures first. That's why the emphasis now by the state government is to ensure that all these infrastructures like electricity, road network, water supply, gas supply, just name it, you know, All these will have to be in place first.
Is there an over-reliance on getting aid or reliance on the federal government on providing infra? Could there be an area where you could source for private investments?
Yeah, I must not deny that we are, you know, heavily relying on this, on the federal government to get the necessary allocation of funds, you know, to have all these things in place. But we are working very closely also with the Northern Corridor Implementing Authority, NCIA, because they have the expertise, they have, you know, the manpower. The state government does not have all this. So, you know, we depend on them as well. We work closely together to ensure that all these things, when they have come up with the plan and so on and so forth. But of course, the input is given by the state government. So inshallah, you know, all these things we have planned already in place. And this is just a matter of implementing it. And according to our plan, by the year 2017, we will begin to build all these infrastructures gradually. And the first phase will be from the year 2016, which is this year, until the year 2020. So we have two phases of development in this industrial area. So the moment, you know, all these things in place, then I'm sure that there will be a stream of investors coming in to invest in our state.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Datuk Yang Amat Berhormat, Datuk Sri Azlan Man, the Menteri Besar of Perlis. So Datuk, you were mentioning just now on the services sector being one of the core focus of Perlis. A quick pull out from the Kangang Local Council 2011 services sector breakdown. It seems that many of these services are in the cottage industry, including retail trade, wholesale trade, restaurants, even tourism and hospitality.
Yeah.
Is there an opportunity for you to exploit this? I'm not trying to say that the whole of Perlis is the same as Kangang Local Council, but could there be some similarities between the services sector, and what could be the impetus of you booming the services sector there?
Well, actually, you know, those are that you mentioned are traditional ones, you know, retail business, tourism, and all those things. But I think we have to go to, you know, extra miles on this because we want to bring in greater height on the retail aspect, on the tourism aspect, and so on and so forth. Talking about tourism, of course, we have some, you know, touristic products that we can offer to tourists who are coming to Perlis. But this requires a lot of money, you know, to redevelop whatever infrastructures, touristic infrastructures that we have. But the idea that the state government has at the moment is that, you know, to exploit the potentials of tourism industry in Perlis by having event and sport related touristic activities. And we have done it, actually. We have started in 2015. One of the activities that we have done is actually to have Perlis Marathon for the first time in the history of Perlis. That in the year 2015, we organized a marathon that had attracted nearly 5,000 participants. And this year, we had it for the second time, just over. It was held on the 29th of May this year. Well, you know, during the Harum Manis season as well, that is also an attraction in a way. And this year, we managed to attract nearly 8,000 participants from all over the world.
Yeah, and do you think that there will be supplementary sectors that could benefit from, say, 8,000 people coming
in? Yes, obviously. Obviously, you know, the impact that it has. You know, I always mention this is a small event that can be easily organized, but it has high impact on the economy of the state.
So very quickly, what's your take on Perlis going forward?
Well, you know, we have planned that is to turn state into a city state by the year 2020. And we have all this in place. The plan's all in place. Just a matter of waiting for it is to be implemented. And it is going to start by the year 2017, inshallah.
I've been speaking to Datuk Sri Azlan Man, the Menteri Besar of Perlis. He is on the Breakfast Grill. Datuk, thanks for coming over. I'm Ibrahim Sani for BFM 89.9, the business station.
Well.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.